Were you pretty constant mentally throughout, or were there times where their darkest hours where you faced like, can we really make this happen?
There were, it was pretty constant. My brother and I have been through enough ridiculous adventures together that, and enough normal adventures, fishing seasons and whatnot. We know well how each other handles stress and low blood sugar and our ups and downs, and all of that was pretty smooth sailing. And I guess there were really just two points. One was we had been wet for about 48 straight hours and just soaked through the rain gear. All of our spare clothes were soaked. All of our gear was soaked. And at that point, we had been rowing pretty nonstop for a day and a half, and we were pulling into Edmonds, and everything on us that had been surgically repaired was starting to feel like it was coming loose. My brother's bicep and his knee were both failing pretty hard, and my hip was just about ready to kick itself out and hop overboard. We were only 2-3 miles from the marina, and my brother, he slipped off the seat, knocked over his coffee, accidentally flung it all over the board, and I tried so hard not to laugh out loud. He held it together. We fished the oar out, and we pulled into the marina there, and we really debated getting right back out and hitting it again, and in the end, we went to a hotel and got like 5 hours of sleep or something like that, and we woke up in the morning feeling quite refreshed. I think the hardest part for us was what we call the doldrums. It was just a long, open water stretch. We didn't really have the tide against us. I mean, maybe just like a half knot, but it was just perfectly calm, flat, hot, absolutely hot. Even though this boat had a sail, we don't know how to sail, so we didn't bring it with us. We rigged up our own little fake mast and stretched out a tent rain fly so we could have just some tiny bit of shade, but everyone else was enjoying that day, and the doldrums were quite a low point for us.
Conversely, were there times where the heavens just opened and the angels were singing, and it was great?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you two of those. One was coming into Laconer, coming in through the Swinomish Slough. It was a bit of a challenge because we took the wrong angle to enter that, and we had to go around this jagged rock and driftwood man-made wall protecting the channel. There's a little hole in the wall, so they call it. We popped through, and it opened up into this majestic, almost Lord of the Rings-like slough with these huge cliffs towering over. We sailed through and under the bridge, and there were people cheering us on from the shore, and that felt pretty nice. They brought us tea and salmon. And then the other time where things got a little more harried, we were coming back after hitting Olympia, coming back through the Tacoma Narrows, nearing the bridge, and there was just a huge tide rip. And the tides there are pretty famous for clashing and creating whirlpools and eddies, and if you're in a small craft like ours, especially without a rudder, it'll spin you out any direction it likes, onto the rocks, into the middle of the channel, into the shipping lane. Nobody cares. So we were riding this, and we saw the tide coming at us, but it was clashing with our outgoing tide at a diagonal angle, almost about 45 degrees. And so we kept squeezing closer to the shore on our starboard side. And off to our port was just immediately a mess of whirlpools. And we kept going faster and faster as this sluice of water kept pushing us. And the closer we got to the shore, the longer we could hold it. We only had like half a mile to go before we could button hook into the Tacoma Narrows Marina. They've got, you know, restaurants and a place to recharge your batteries and stuff. But there were rocks on our starboard. There was whirlpools on our port. And we just kept squeezing in tighter and tighter. And there was some guy, pretty memorable for both of us, just standing on the shore, he's gardening or something like that, and he dropped everything he's doing to come get us on camera, waiting to see us wreck. And at the end there, we had probably about a foot off our starboard side before big rocks were there, and our oars hit him a few times, and off to our starboard was just a few inches before the whirlpools and the eddies would have caught us and slung us out. And we came careening out, tires screeching into the clear sound there, and we were able to anchor up for a little while. Get some food.
Would you do it again?
Well, I'll put it this way. They do have other races as well. They put on like the 70-48, which is 70 miles in 48 hours. And they have the race to Alaska, which they didn't do this year. COVID restrictions coming through Canada were too cumbersome. And that goes from Port Townsend all the way up to Ketchikan. And I'll say each race has its own appeals. But if I'm going to take 2 weeks for an adventure, I'd be hard-pressed to do the same one again solely because rowing isn't specifically my passion. The Tacoma Narrows or the Puget Sound area isn't specifically my passion. Adventure is what we're after. And for me, this I kind of felt like this was me saying goodbye to my youth. You know, I just had my hip replaced, feeling kind of old, and my body's starting to really fall apart. And I felt like, well, if I can survive one more adventure, then I've got one more story to add to a long list of them that I can hang my hat on and tell my kids and grandkids. We finished it, and we finished it in such a way that I realized I still got some miles. I've got room to roam. I've got tread on the tires. And so I don't know if I would do this specific race again, but would I go and do something as ridiculously poorly conceived and thought out as this one? Absolutely. whether it's by myself, with my family. I mean, Jake and I are always looking for things to do that are outside of the norm. And, you know, one of the things we talked about a lot during our many, many hours was there's kind of a path set out for you that people expect you to follow. You know, you go to high school, college, you get this kind of job, that kind of job, and everyone's investments kind of look the same. Everyone's schedule, especially in theater, it all looks pretty similar. You know, you follow the fishing routine, and it's been very successful for a lot of people. We've never entirely fit into the expected plan or the way that things are supposed to be. And following Frank Sinatra's My Way, you know, that beautiful song, you know, you've got to be able to hang your hat at the end of the day on doing things that are successful, that aren't just following someone else's direction. You got to do it your way. And one of those things for Jake might involve bailing out on a potentially lucrative fishing season to do this before time and fate and use render us quite unable. And for me, that means bucking up one last time and instead of proving to everyone else I can do it one last time, proving myself I can do this 10 more times. There's adventure out there, and everyone talks about wanting to do it. And for those who stop what they're doing to actually grab onto it, there's a much greater reward than the obvious. A lot of people ask, you know, is there prize money? Do you expect to win? No, we've never rode 360 miles before. We're racing against professional teams who have crossed the Atlantic in carbon fiber racing vessels. It's like running a marathon for the first time. You don't expect to win, but you're pretty amazed when you finish. And this race in particular was, I think, 14 marathons long. And we rode it. We finished, and we still had almost 30% of our available time left to keep going. Even more than just going fast, we were able to outlast about a third of the teams, including professional racers, who capsized. Some of them had a mast or a rudder snap. Some people lost some oars. Some people got sick or their bodies just couldn't handle the strain. And my hat is off to them because they got out there and they tried. They ponied up the money and the time and the skill and the effort. And if it didn't work out this time, that's unfortunate. But I'm still proud of every one of those people that got up there and tried.
You and your brother both served in the military. I'm imagining that helped in the toughness needed to do this kind of thing, too.
Sure, yeah. And we had some adventures in the military together as well. His reenlistment bonus for the Marine Corps was going to the Army's Airborne School. And him being 4 years older than me, four-year enlistment, happened to coincide with myself going through airborne school at the same time. Didn't quite coincide. We finagled some things to make it happen, and yeah, that was quite an adventure. And after that, we got to both go on our separate journeys again. But that toughness in the military isn't so much created as enhanced. I mean, we had it long before that. I was out long lining with my dad at 8. We're both trolling with our grandpa, and not much older than that for full seasons. And I mean, going through the 1990s Viking wrestling program with Coach Rob Schwartz, that builds character and that breeds toughness. And the military can use that to enhance. But if you don't have a spine to begin with, they're not going to issue you one.
And anything else you want to say about this incredible journey you guys took together?
Yep. I'd like to say thank you to everyone in Petersburg or from Petersburg or related to Petersburg who supported us in this. There were a lot of different facets of support, sometimes financial, sometimes words of encouragement. Mike Schwartz was kind enough to get up there at KFSK and read a poem that I chose. And the whole time, although Jake launched off from there and I launched off from down here to Oregon, I felt that support the whole way, and Jake and I talked often about it. That community is absolutely something special. Absolutely. It's close-knit, and it goes down generations. I was hearing from people who I hadn't talked to in 10, 20 years, and it was like they were sitting there right on the side of the wrestling meet cheering me on again. It was beautiful. It was absolutely essential. I mean, it's one thing to do something like this alone, but when you feel the hands of 1,000 people at your back urging you forward, you feel empowered. And Petersburg definitely supported us every step of the way. And I'd like to say thank you.